Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for this day, and we ask for your grace, Lord, be upon us. As the world turns, Lord, as the people go about their business and their work and their life, their educations, their sports, and whatever activities they may be engaged in, Lord, we know the scoffers, the unbelievers, they will ask, when is the coming of thy Lord? It has been now almost 2,000 years. He hasn't come and he will never come. Never scoff, Lord, at our faith regarding your return. But Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you that you have given us a sure word of prophecy. You have given us, Lord, a revelation to know the hour we live in, the time of the near coming of our Lord. You have revealed to us, Father, what to expect and the things that will come upon this world. And what we have as a believer, as believers, Lord, to look for and to expect, Lord. And that sure word of prophecy will not fail. Because we know, Lord, the secrets, things of God belong to you. And as we are your people, surely, Lord, as thou said, you will not hid it from your people. As surely, Lord, you reveal the secrets and mysteries to your servants in ages past, in each and every age, Lord, that they might carry those secrets and impart it unto your saints. So it is with us in this last hour. And thou hast sent a man, your messenger, Lord, to declare unto us the mystery and to bring us back and cause us to see and point us in the direction to go back to what we must do. And Lord, we take heed to those words and we come back into thy word. So we are here today, Father, not just coming together as a church or coming to church, Lord, but we come to the assembly of saints. Saints that are called by thy name, redeemed, and sitting in heavenly places with you now to listen to what you have to say, Lord. And cause us to see the hour again, how close we are now, Father. It is later than we think upon the Lord. The world will not understand. They will go about their business, their activities. But the saints of the Lord, they have seen the signs. They have seen the revelation of thy word. And with great expectancy, Lord, we wait for thy coming. And we hasten thy return, Lord Jesus. We come in this time now to the hearing of thy word, the ministration of thy word, Lord. Things that we may have heard before, things that we may have studied, believe in it. But I once again call us to remembrance of these important things, Lord. Things that you have prepared, things that you have predestined, and things that, Lord, you have planned for. For each and every child of yours, Lord, for good to them to love the Lord. So we commit this time to you in Jesus Christ's most wonderful name, Father. Amen. You may be seated now. And Twenty years ago, many of you are still not born, young ones. 20 years ago, I preached on this message. 20 years ago, some of you were not here too. 20 years ago, we have a different group of people though. And those who were here 20 years ago may not remember. 20 years ago, Zaha was only 8 years old. 20 years ago, he knows nothing. And neither do we. When 20 years ago, how much have we learned? And as compared to now that we have passed 20 years of that time, we have learned much. But there are many things we still don't tend to keep in mind up here. But those things that we have learned, those things that we have, we hold fast to those things. And the subject this morning again, just recall and cause to remember some of you, I mean those of you not heard of it, the predestined or predestinated space of time. And I believe in all things that God predestined it. I believe that nothing takes God by surprise. Nothing at all takes Him by surprise. He knows all things and He predestined. And because He did that, we can have the assurance. And what the Bible has said of all the work that He had done before, looking back into history, knowing that all those things were for a purpose, predestinated. And those things that we see in His predestination that's already history, that came to pass, we know that it points to something in the future that must also come to pass. Amen. Those are what we call foundation stones. You know, those are built for our assurance. And those things have been the way God said it would be, and it came to pass the way it is. Then what He said about the future? You have to be sure that it will also come to pass exactly. Is that alright? So why fear of the flock? There shouldn't be any fear. Is that right? We know. We know of a surety that we are in good hands. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us go to 1 John 5:8. 1 John 5:8. Wouldn't take long today, I believe so. I always say that, don't I? And Sister Wilma is always laughing. Say, oh, yeah, I'll take 1 hour and then it's 1.5 hour. But I tried. I tried to be, but you never know what, but we have to explain something a little bit longer or more. 1 John 5:7 and 8. For there are three that bear record, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one now. I'm reading what is Scripture. Those other words that I don't read, they are not Scriptures. Okay? You understand? Okay. 1 John 5:7 and 8. For there are three that bear record, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. You know, I like the way that the Bible put it. The way He said it. And I believe when the Bible arranged the way it arranged the words, you cannot say, oh, no, it's not quite right. It should be this way or that other way. Alright? The Spirit, the water, and the blood. Okay? So we have three. The Spirit, water, and blood. This three agree in one. Now we have a predestinated plan of God. That these three things will span a period of 6,000 years. We look back into history, we see that eternity has no beginning or end. When we talk about eternity, it seems kind of odd, but there's no beginning, no end. Things like this, we truly cannot comprehend. And many times, as I said, I don't know whether you do, I always feel in awe when I try to look at what on earth are we human beings? And why are we the way we are? We appear on this earth with two hands and two legs. Why don't I have us three hands, you know, an extra hand for some other purposes? Or maybe three legs, so that if one is bad or broken, at least we got two to walk again. Oh, we can always think about, why are we made the way we are made? And then you think about it, you know that there got to be a creator. You know what I mean? And then you think about, oh, eternity, what is creator? How is he? What is he? Things like that. And then the more we think about this, it awes us. Because eternal God is a being that you can never comprehend as to his existence. But only to know that we exist. If we exist, He must exist. And because He exists, We are here and we must have a purpose. Isn't it? There's nothing that is without a purpose. That is without having no purpose in life or in his existence. So when we look at eternity, we know eternity, we can draw it like a circle. There's no beginning, no ending. In reality, it's a circle. And anything outside of this circle has a beginning, isn't it? So we cannot comprehend this. But what we know is that we look at the history of mankind. The Bible gives us this book. God gives us this book called the Holy Bible. Or we call it the Holy Scripture, the Torah, however you want to call it. As a guide, as an encyclopedia to look through the research and find out why we are here. When man begins. Of course, anthropologies or paleontologies and all the scientists, they dig up bones and they try to figure out how many years mankind has been in existence. And they estimate that we are so many millions of years or so many, hundreds of thousands of years. And then man came from Africa and so forth, or monkey, whatever it is. But you know what? The purpose of these scientists, when they terrorize, is to get money from the government. Because they are scientists. So the government is being fooled by these foolish scientists. And they pay these scientists to keep them alive, to give them a lot of money, to indulge in all this silly theory. And people doesn't know what the thing that is going on, But the scientists know that they are fooling everybody, and they get paid for it. So, by being filled with a salary, a wages, they can keep on theorizing this, and now we come up with something new. But the Bible gives us the answer. And I don't believe that you can theorize what you read in the Bible. You can only try to understand what God is saying. But you cannot theorize it. Because maybe it's this, maybe it's that. But the Bible, what it spoke of, they are all facts. History or future. Isn't it? History are things that happened and gone by, but future are history that are yet to come. So when we look at mankind, now we are talking about God's highest creation. God's highest creation is us, men. The Bible said Jesus was made a little lower than the angel. The angel wasn't the highest creation, Man was God's highest creation. You understand that? Yet the highest creation of man was on this earth for only a while. Because out of this mortal, physical body, earthly body, God has planted it on this earth to bring forth a far better body than what we have now. So, this book, called the Holy Bible, it is for us. It is not for the monkeys. It is not for the donkeys. Therefore, that's why when scientists believe that they come from a monkey, they don't read the Bible. Because the Bible is only for human beings, for mankind. So when we look back into this passage of scripture now, there are three, the bare record, the spirit, the water, the blood, and this is a green one. So we have three periods of time where the Lord will bring about something to pass. He has predestinated this space of time in which these three phases of spirit, water and blood will manifest to bring about something. Go back to the beginning of time. We have, of course, God's timetable, 6,000 years. Peter told us that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 is one day. And when we look at that, we realize that if God said in the beginning, in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 9 to 10, 6 days thou shalt labor, and the seventh shalt thou rest. Now let's go and look into that verse. Because there is something here, even in commandments that God gave, they already show us something about the way that God plans certain things. That God predestined. You know, as I said this, we do not believe that God predestined certain people to heaven and certain people to hell. We don't. We don't believe that He chose someone and throw someone to hell and chose someone and throw someone to heaven. He doesn't do that. It is because of His foreknowledge. He knows. And the Bible says He predestined. He didn't say He predestined it because He foreknown somebody who would not accept the gospel. He predestined them to hell. Now He didn't do that even. But because He knows and He knows by His foreknowledge that someone will accept the word, He predestined them unto sonship. But as to the other, the sinner who doesn't accept, he doesn't have to predestine them anything. Because the Bible already said, He already said that. The wages of sin is death. The soul is sinned, it shall die. Isn't it? He doesn't have to predestine them to death. They already sinned, they are dead because God already passed that law. You see? You understand? But for those that will accept the word, He predestined them unto sonship. That we may become sons and daughters of God. That was the purpose of it. But when you look down into the future, from the beginning, now it could be a future of, well, not just 6,000 years or 7,000 years. It could be 10,000 years or 70,000 years or 100,000 years, isn't it? It could. But the fact is, when we look down into the future, He see the man will mankind will destroy themselves. Huh? And because of the activity that is on the earth, that is going on. Therefore, He cuts on the time, so to speak. In the book of Matthew, Jesus has said, right? There should be great tribulation in those days, but for the elect, He cut short the time. And that's when God could intervene for the elect's sake. That's why I say this, and I believe that if you are a child of God, God watches over you. Wherever you go on the road, if God's time for you is not up, you're not ready to go home. And He's walking on the road and the car is going to come and hit you and He's going to send you flying and you'll die or whatever will happen to you. If God sees this thing is going to happen, He can intervene. You know that, don't you? Yes. He could intervene. Because we are His elect. That's one thing about it. That's not because for the elect's sake, God had to cut short the time for Israel. Israel was there. God's elected. Chosen people. So that's the reason why, because when we look and understand the scripture, we see then that God had predestined a time of 7,000 years altogether. When we began to study, we began to see that this commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verse 9 to 10, already give us a prophetic insight into the plan of God. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy works, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it, thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 7 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, and the sea, and all that in them is, and rest the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath, and hallowed it. Now the seventh day. Now, again, the Bible here, as I said this many times in our study, about Sabbath. That the Sabbath is not a day. The Sabbath is not a day. The Sabbath is a rest. He's now talking about a Sabbath day. He said that on the seventh day, it shall be a Sabbath. It is not the Sabbath day. Now we have the seventh day Adventists, and the Sabbath people. They always argue. Saturday is the Sabbath. Sunday is not. Sunday is the sun worship. It's pagan. Yeah, we know what happened in history, you know. You know, the Bible said that this Antichrist that come, the man who sit in the temple, the vile one, he shall change the law and so forth. Now, when God wrote that in the Old Testament, he was writing to Israel. You understand? He would change law and things that were as far as Israel is concerned. Huh? You understand that? So, but we are Christian. When we come to this worship on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week, they say we have the mark of the beast because it's a Sunday. And Sunday is a sun worship. But so Sunday is not a Sabbath. Saturday is the Sabbath day. But to me, you know what? Every day is my Sabbath. Is every day to you a Sabbath? People say, I work 6 days, and Sunday I come and worship my Sabbath. No, no. We're coming here not to keep the Sabbath. We're not keeping no Sabbath. We are in the Sabbath of rest. We are in the Sabbath. We are in Christ. If you don't rest every day in Christ Jesus, if you are not having a sabbatical every day, then you don't have any rest at all. True, isn't it? You'll be struggling, isn't it? That's why Israel, they failed to recognize. And God said they will never enter in my rest. And that's why Israel are still going on with all that thing. And you know how many, and as Paul said, not all Israel are Israel. And look at what Israel is today. Do you know many of the things that's going on in the world were created by the Jews? Do you know that many Jews have covered themselves to Christian, Protestant, or the Catholicism? Huh? The man who started the mafia. You know the mafia? It's an Italian Jew. He was converted Catholic and he started this mafia. Mafia means M-A-F-I-A. The name of this person who started is Giuseppe. I don't know his Italian name, how difficult you can pronounce. And Manzini. 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 Authorized. A. Authorized. And, of course, it's all in Latin in Italy. He authorized theft, poison, and the other one is, I think, death or something. The word mafia spells out that way. Illuminati started also by the Jew. Some Jew converted to something, you know. Catholicism. They started all these Freemason things. Interesting history, you read it up. A lot of people do not know. But the church world is, you understand that this whole world is actually under the influence of Romanism. Do you know that the world today, it is not that we all, that the whole world is under the influence of Americanism, but it is actually basically is that beast, the first beast, Romanism, the second beast is Americanism. Is that right? And you know that Americanism has already been the image to the first beast, which is Ecumenism. Is that right? And you know that no matter what, Americans today are part of the Romanism spirit. They have that spirit. The Roman world actually encompassed all the other known world in those times. Egypt, Greece, Assyrian, Egyptian, all those others. And you know all those sports? The Olympic, all these sports are all very, very much Grecian and Roman in spirits. And that's what is infiltrating the whole world. And everything that is under this world, under this heaven, the spirit that involves is, the system that goes by, is traced back, many things are traced back to Roman Empire. The usage of the calendar is one of them. We have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all these are something to do with Roman gods. January, February, March, April, May, and all these Roman names, Roman gods. Isn't that right? It's there. So all of these things is, it's part of the world system. And so you cannot say, oh, we are Christian. We cannot have anything to do with the Sunday. Because it's a worship day on the pagan worship, their sun god. We have nothing to do with Thursday, because Thursday is Thor's day, the god of thunder. You know, all sorts of things like that. A lot of people are very peculiar. Then we also speak in Mandarin. Always speak like a Jew then.
The first day of the week. I see you on the third day of the week.
Third day of the week.
I see you on the fifth day of the week. You know what I mean? Huh? First day of the fifth month of the year 2004.
Oh. Everybody go by that. You see how sin, of course, when we write it in our in numerical, it's okay. There's nothing mentioned about anything.
But we cannot get away out of these things and the world is in. We are here on this, but we are not part of this world. Isn't it?
Well, Jesus Christ told the disciples, he said, must we pay? That means the Pharisee came to Jesus and says, do we need to pay tribute to Caesar? Show me the coin. I mean, after all, that's a Roman coin. See, whose inscription is that? Caesar's, isn't it? I mean, Jesus Christ, when he goes to the market, he buys things. Of course, he used that coin too. Oh, that's Caesar. I won't use it. No, it's not anything to do with that. Do you understand what I'm saying about? It's a system that is already here.
So when we look at Sabbath, understand that Sabbath is a rest.
It's a rest. It's not a day. So it has no length of time. It's a rest in the being.
Now before anything started, before we have the beginning of mankind, we have eternity.
Eternity. Now, the Almighty One is. He's alone.
When He's alone, and there's nothing, there's no other God beside Him, He's alone.
He says, I'm Him and there's no other one.
Is He resting? Would you say, He's resting.
Now, when you say resting, you must have done some work before you can rest, isn't it?
If you're not doing any work, can you say resting? Huh? The baby, when a woman is pregnant, the baby is in the mother's womb. Is he resting? He doesn't even come out and do anything. He's inside, right? He don't do any work, can you say he's resting?
Even when a baby is born, when he starts to drink milk, yeah, he starts to struggle, he's working to drink. Then after that, he went to sleep, he's resting.
If there is no work, you cannot rest without a work, so to speak. You agree with that? Huh? So Sabbath is a rest. Huh? But in all things, in the beginning, there is eternity. The end of it, whatever God achieved, is eternity future, isn't it? Hmm?
Now, eternity future, when we talk about rest, it's for rest.
Huh? Now, the Bible said in Genesis, or where we read just now anyway, we know that God created heaven and earth in 6 days. And then the seventh day, He rests. The Bible said that. So that's why He rests. On the seventh day, He rests. But in those days, of course, when we have the 6 days of creation, 24-hour days, time begin. But there was no sin. And if there was no sin, Adam and Eve, if being on earth, if there's no sin, there was no sin that came, they will live forever and ever. And God will be resting forever and ever. Wouldn't it? But can you say that Adam and Eve really experienced? Because this commandment of 6 days thou shalt work, 7 days you will rest. Huh? It's not given to Adam and Eve. It was only given in the days of Moses. Wasn't it? So Adam and Eve will be living in the Garden of Eden, and what rest are you talking about? They had no experience, no labor. No true labor. When you are taking a rest and do gardening, you don't call that work when you're enjoying something. To a certain extent, that's so true, isn't it? I'm relaxing. What are you doing? I'm doing gardening. That's my hobby. I'm relaxing. I'm taking time off from my work. I'm doing my, relaxing. Oh, I play computer game. That's relaxing. You know, it's not actual work. Do you understand? Because only when you labor, when you really work to do something serious, then you call that labor. So when God worked, bring out the heavens and the earth, He rests on the seventh day. That's just only a plant to show us something that's going to come. So now we have in Genesis 1:9. Let's go to it. All right. It says here in Genesis 1:9, and God said, let the water under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Genesis chapter 6. Here we have the flood. Alright. And we go to verse 9. No, we're not 9. We'll look at chapter 7, sorry. Let's go to chapter 7. In verse 11. In the 600 years of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Now the first phrase of what we see, when God created the heavens and the earth, the Spirit began to move. You understand? In the beginning, before there was the earth, God was working. Genesis chapter 1 says, that, and verse 2 says, and the Spirit of God began to move upon the face of the water. The earth was already there, but it was in another era. The era of the dinosaur. Got it? But now the Spirit of God began to move. Now we come to the second phase. The water. As Spirit of God began to move upon the water, and then God began to recreate, bring out the land out of the water. Now in the book of 1 Peter, let's go to 1 Peter. Alright. Sorry, 2 Peter. Not 1 Peter, 2 Peter. Chapter 3. Verse 4 onwards. Verse 3 onwards. Chapter 3, verse 3 onwards. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, what is the promise of his coming? For seeing the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth sending out the water in the water, whereby the water then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now, we know in the recreation, the world was submerged under the water. Well, then God recreated it, bring it up. But this same earth, at that time all again was flooded in the days of Noah. But God said that here, as Peter said, this earth now, as God promised to Noah, that he will no longer send a flood to destroy the earth for the wickedness of man. But he will send a fire instead to burn it up. So now when we look at it, we realize that when the earth was recreated, the Spirit of God began to move upon the water. That was the first time. Then at the close of 2,000 years, the flood came. When the flood came in the days of Noah, it was about 2,000 years. Okay? So the water came and it flooded the earth. So that closed out 2,000 years. Well, when after the flood, God began to call a man, and that man was Abraham. And God told Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. Now, I'm taking this predestinated space of time differently from other junction of types and shadow. The other types in shadow, when I give it to you, was first that Adam was the father of mankind. Right? And 2,000 years span enter around Abraham, the father of the faith. You understand? And the father of the faith was promised a son, Isaac. And he ended up 2,000 years later with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Is that right? And the Spirit was given after Jesus promised it. And then after 1,000 years, the Spirit will come back and kept the church. You understand? But I'm taking here the predestination of space, of time, of spirit, water, and blood. Now, when you are looking at this chart on the wall, you say something is happening here. Something doesn't look right. Don't worry about that. What we have at the beginning is that the Bible said, the spirit, the water, and the blood. When the spirit began to move upon the surface of the earth, it bring back the church, bring back the earth. 2,000 years later, the flood came. It closed her out 2,000 years. Then Abraham was called. And here was that God, when he chose Abraham, he also gave him a covenant. What covenant was that? It was a covenant of blood. Do you understand that? It was a covenant of blood. In the book of Matthew 27, in the whole of Matthew 27, we're not going to read it. 2,000 years later, after the covenant was made with Abraham, this was a blood issue. Abraham and all his family and all those male firstborn, all the male must be circumcised. Huh? So there was circumcised, there was blood. And it was promised that 2,000 years later, the offering of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, was fulfilled. That's 2,000 years. From Abraham's time to that Christ's time, it's about 2,000 years. You understand? Now, we have the next one. Again. Because it began with the Spirit creating, recreating this earth and put mankind on it. The Spirit must come back. In all His work, it must come back here to complete the job. Isn't it? You understand? Before you go into eternity. So the Spirit that starts to work, because before the earth was created, it was just eternity. There was no beginning of time, nothing. So God actually predestined 6,000 years. By what you look in the Bible, 6 days thou shalt labor, and the seventh you shall rest. Let me just redraw this part here because it's no space. Run out of space here. Here we have beginning of the Spirit. Water. Blood. Spirit again. 2,000. 2,000. 2,000. That's eternity. That's eternity. Here's another 1,000. Now, 6 days thou shalt labor, and the seventh you shall rest. So we have 2,000 years of water, 2,000 years of the blood. You know, God dealt with Israel for 2,000 years before Christ came, because Christ came and fulfilled it. Now, these are all laboring, you know. 2,000 years. Do you tell me God, after making man, man fail? Man, there was a struggle. Man began to labor, come under the law of God. As God told Adam, because you hearken to your wife, because you have hearkened to your wife, you have to now toy. Thorn and thistle shall the earth bring forth, and you shall now toy. In the sweat of your brow for your livelihood. Then, when man gets in further, the water again covers the earth.
now the blood. Now God no longer used water to judge the world. He used the blood now as a token to save the world and as well as a token that will condemn the world. When I don't see the blood, I won't pass over you. I will come in and take the firstborn. Remember? By the blood you shall live, and by the blood you shall die. So that's why Jesus, that's why the token of the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That's why this whole period of time, God dealt with Israel. They have to sacrifice the lamb. They must shed blood. And Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago or 2,000 years later after Abraham was given that covenant. Christ came and shed His blood. Once and for all, that those that can believe, they no longer need to sacrifice a lamb. Because they were passed from death unto life. So now the Spirit was given. The Spirit was given for another 2,000 years to bring about a restoration of what was all marred. Things that were tainted, stained, corrupt. So the Holy Spirit came for 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit began to work to get a people. And all the Jews rejected the gospel. So what we have? We have the gospel. We Gentiles have the gospel. It was given to us. But God had never forsaken Israel. And so in the restoration at the end of the 6,000 years. Now look how at the end of the first 1,000 years, God judged the world with water. At the end of the second 2,000 years, there is the end of 4,000 years altogether, then Christ came to die. At the end of this next 2,000 years, which will be the end of the 6,000 years together, altogether from the day of Adam, God is going to restore back everything. And after restoring back everything, then there will be the Sabbath. But the Sabbath is still earthly. It's on this earth. That's for mankind. But for us, our Sabbath, for us, our Sabbath is not 1,000 years. Our Sabbath don't begin when Christ comes back. Our Sabbath begins on days that we are born again. Do you understand this? But when we look at the predestinated space of time of 6,000 plus 1,000 years, it's dealing with this earth. It's God dealing with mankind. That's why when we look at the Bible, we realize how God showed this time for the elect that they can understand where they are heading and what is God doing. And I thank God that I have my rest. My Sabbath is not on this earth. My Sabbath is in a person. But the earth had no Sabbath yet. The earth is going through a travailing. Romans chapter 5, 20 said so. It's going through a travailing to be released. Now there it is said that there is a calm before the storm. We all know we say that, isn't it? And it seems to be very, very true in nature, in the nature. Sometimes you look at everything so quiet, then suddenly there's a storm coming. There's a calm before the storm. The earth has not been shaking for quite a while now. There wasn't many earthquakes in the last year or two. So the earth is kind of under tension. When it starts to blow, it will blow. Huh? So at the end of 6,000 years from the day of Adam, what do we have? Well, God sent the prophets. They sent the world to restore everything back now. Like it or not, from the beginning of time, mankind keep running away from the Lord. Mankind keep forsaking God. Prophet after prophet, God sent them, they rejected. Word after word was sent, they rejected. When do we ever learn now? Think about it, every one of us here today. You have been Christian or not Christian when you come to this word of truth. What did this message mean to you? What does this message mean to you? Is it something that is life to you? Or
Or is it something that is exclusive, that God is only given to those that are the wise virgin, those that are elected, those that can see that they are going to go up? We have many people in this end-time message around the world. Well, estimated something like 60 million. That was an estimation. I don't know how true is that estimation. They claim this message. But what is this message to them? Malachi 4, 5 and 6, so good. So? What else? Luke 17, 30, so good. Yes, Luke 17, 30. Revelation 10, 7. Yep, so? Well, the life of the message, the life of the Word of God. That's what we're supposed to have. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is life. Nothing else. The Word of God is not speaking in tongues. The Word of God is not prophecy. The Word of God is not healing or miracles. The Word of God is life. So if it means anything to you, that's what God is to restore back the Word. Think about it. He said from the very beginning, when Satan came right there in the beginning to Adam and Eve to take away the Word of God from them, slowly he started to build up. And people were falling in sin and getting heavier. And the Bible really said it's true. The sins of the world were increased with time. It will not decrease. Mankind will never say, oh, when we have a lot of sin, we realize we're coming out, say, let us do something. You think they would? No. Human being is for a moment, oh yes, I realize I've sinned. But next moment they continue sinning. That's human. Human without the reality of the Word of God. The Word of God is, when we receive it, is to grow. It's to let the Spirit of God change us from inside out. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit given you, to guide you, to lead you in all truth, and to build you up, sanctify you, purge you. You talk about baptism, that John the Baptist says, yeah, I indeed baptize you with water, but then it's going to come one that shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. What is this fire? People think the fire is a trial, you know. I went through a baptism of fire. A lot of people, like some people, some soldiers say, I went through the Vietnam War, I went through that hell, you know, up there in the jungle with this Vietcong and this trap and all this booby thing, booby trap, booby bomb and mile. I went through the baptism of fire with all this, you know, gunfire and everything, exploding here and there, and I survived. They call it a baptism of fire. Huh? What is the baptism of fire? That's not just fire. Baptism of fire, the Holy Spirit, he baptizes you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. When the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to purge. He's going to burn. What did Peter said? Or was it James? He says about taking that gold, like Abraham was trial. Abraham was a man put to trial, as gold is refined, isn't it? Huh? And even if Jesus said in the book of Revelation, buy of me gold tried in the fire. The word that is tried in the fire. The word has been true thousands of years, 6,000 years of since then. It's to survive. And it gets better every day. As long as the word tried is true, many people will reject, but those that held to the word, all those thousands of years, they have come out, men refined, as gold is put to the fire. Abraham is one of them. Abraham was not a perfect man. He had failures. He tells white lie. We call it white lie, a half truth though. But it's truth in his eyes, truth. Sarah, tell it down. Tell Pharaoh, tell Elimelech that you're my sister. Cousin sister. Sister, you know me? Your cousin is always called a sister.
Chinese government, 1 hour man, you know, whatever that is. What is that? What is the cousin? What is the cousin for Chinese? Huh? 表妹, is it? Tang Ming, yeah. It's a what sister there? Very ancient. But of course, the European says cousin. They don't consider it sister in that way. But you know, it's Asian. It's cousin. My brother's wife. My brother's daughter. You see, my brother's son is my sister. My son's a brother and sister. You know, it's related. So that's the way it goes. But you know, Abraham had a failure. But he never give up what God said he would give him. He held to that faith. Yes, he will have a son. He held to that. And can we hold to what we have today? Huh? No, it's failure. But one thing for sure, one thing about Abraham. When every time God speak to him, when every time God did something for him, he recognized that was God. Here came a man, Melchizedek. Hey, you know that was the priest of Most High God. Three senior came in the afternoon, past 3:10. He recognized who that was. Huh? Recommend. When we both of you out there in California. If you're going to stay there for 2 years now, prayerfully are you recognized when God sent the angels? When someone comes to the door and knock, somebody is trying to meet you on the road, you can believe that this thing is going to happen. Like Jesus on the road, like those two men on the road to Emmaus, like Paul on the road to Damascus. Isn't it? Can you recognize them? Sure. You see, God is going to do something in this hour that is beyond the thinking of the nominal Christian. How can the Christian and denomination just recognize what God is doing when they are bound by the system? When they are bound by the traditions of man? Blinded to the Word of God. They will not know what God is doing. That's the reason why, as Brother Brown used to say, we can always talk about history. Yeah, they did this. You know, what can the Jew believe? What can the Jews believe? Huh? Why did they reject Jesus Christ? Why did they reject the prophet? But in the days when Jesus appeared, the same people, they too failed to accept Christ. And we look back and say, why did the Pharisees not see it? Why did the Sadducees not see it? But there's always a few that we know that saw it. And we live in the same day today. The people in the man's message. So why can't the denomination recognize Brother Branham as the messenger? Why should they? When traditions holds the rain in their life. What about a Branhamite today? Why can't they see what Branham was talking about back to the Word? That he's not the absolute. The same thing, isn't it? But can we, and I pray that you do, to know, not only the message and his hour, huh? The day, recognizing the day and the message, but also recognizing what God is doing now. Not just the message, what God is doing now. And what is going to come very soon. Can you believe it? I said last week, in the former rain, and I shared this on Friday, I didn't know. This thing was not in my note. I got a kick out of it when I was here on a pulpit. In the Revelation, just as you got it. We're talking about the former rain and the later rain. If the former rain was a teaching rain, and the Bible said that we're going to have two portions in the last day. Now you can send the later rain and the former rain together. If the former rain has come to cause us to grow, right? Right? How to grow? If the rain of God comes,
The rain is the Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit. The whole, the what was the Spirit given for? To that you speak in tongue, has a lot of gift of healing and miracles and such like. It is not. It's to lead you and guide you back to the Word of God. Is that right? To guide you back to the Word. That's what the Holy Spirit was given for. To guide you and to lead you into all truth. So if we had the formal rain poured out to us, it was to quicken us. To grow. Now, if that is a teaching rain, the teachers of righteousness, then the latter rain is also the same. It's a greater portion of the Spirit that will come for the purpose of harvesting. And if the former rain is the spoken word ministry, because the Holy Spirit don't come upon you and just that you stay at home and read the Bible, because how can you have faith? Faith cometh by hearing. That's why God sent a prophet and he speak the word you hear. He's gone. The powerful ministry took over. They speak you hear. And faith cometh by hearing, beating you up, teaching you, until that let the rain comes to harvest you. When the let the rain comes, it still will be spoken word. Sure. See that? Because one rain cannot be different from another rain. Rain is rain. You understand that? Huh? You cannot say the rain is the Spirit and the Word, and then the second rain is something else. It isn't. It will be the same Holy Spirit doing a greater portion to harvest you. Once you have been taught, once you have matured, teaching ways to mature, cause you to grow. Then that second one is to come for the final moment for you to ripen in the sun before you harvest, you are harvesting. And that is when God will give you that rapturing faith. And how can you have rapturing faith? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's when the Holy Spirit will come in a great portion. And I say this once and for all. It will not be the work of man. It will not be the work of man. It will not be someone going out there trying to teach you the Bible so that you can get rapturing faith. For you to get going up. No. It will be something outside of this Bible that's not written. Something that John heard. You understand? Amen. But was not written. So you know it's for something in the Bible. It will be something that was been promised to you just like God promised to Abraham. Huh? And Abraham held to it for 24 years. And one day, three angels came. Abraham recognized who they were. And then they speak the word. That's the final one. That's the letter in. Now, he got his promised son. When his body began to change, after he heard that. Faith come out by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And I said this and I said it all the time. There's no life outside the spoken word of God. There's no life outside the spoken word of God. Hear me right? I didn't say that there's no life outside the written word. I said there's no life outside the spoken word of God. Huh? People can read the Bible, you know. You think they get life out of reading the Bible? The Bible said the latter killeth. Is that alright? But the Spirit gives life. And how does the Spirit give it life? And how Paul said, how can they hear the word of God? I said, unless the Spirit speaks through men. And unless God sent a prophet, unless the preacher be sent, and for faith cometh by hearing. No matter whatever it is, like it or not, we've got to hear the voice of God. Just from all the very beginning. Adam and all those people that heard the voice of God. Huh? That's why the children of Israel say, oh, we don't want God to speak to us anymore. We are afraid because look at that rumbling and all that the noise up there on Mount Sinai. And there, they got prophets. And the prophet keep coming up to speak to them. You know that? The same thing over in the Pharisees. In the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, but we got the book. We got a prophet. We read it every Sabbath day in the temple. We read it every Sabbath day in the synagogue. You can read it. Huh? You can have your rabbi there reading, preaching to you. You can have your priest reading the scripture. Huh? Can They read a prasad every Sabbath for 52 Sabbath day in a year, or 54. But what does it give you? Because where is the anointed man of God? John the Baptist was the one that was anointed out there. They wouldn't hear. They hear the one out there. They hear the one in the temple. The man who's a rabbi, who's a Pharisees or a Sadducees. But there's no life in that. You think you've got life out there in the charismatic, in the Pentecostal, and all this denomination church? God's alive leading the way. He called us to this hour and day. Isn't it? He has left denomination. He has taken His name away from all those churches. As the Bible said, they have a name, but they are dead. Is that right? Mm-hmm. The word is going to be alive to you. So predestinate is 6,000. And at the end of it, we have to be restored back. And all, after the message was given, we come into the Word of God, the fivefold ministry took over. 6,000 years will close up man's age. 6,000. Man is going 6 days. 6 days, man was created another 6 days. So that's it. 6,000, God fixed it for mankind, 6,000 years. Are we already up to 6,000 years? Don't tell me we're going for another 20 years more to go. Right over here. And after that, what do we have? 1,000 years? The earth is come to a rest. The earth has no rest. The Bible says when you plant, when you farm your land, you must let the land rest. If you plant 7 or 6 months, the 7th month, let the land rest. 6 years, let the 7th year, let the land rest. No, they won't let the land rest. What do? They put fertilizer. What kind of fertilizer? Chemical. The earth is dying. A lot of people, when we work, instead of working 6 days, let the body rest. No, we work 7 days. You know, a lot of people work overtime, work until our body breaks down. Then what do? We get sick. So what we do? Feed the body with antibiotics. And the worse you get. No matter how you overwork, the brother and sister, even then you take health supplement. When you overwork your body is going to die. Your body is not made to work for 7 days a week and put vitamins and health food. You think they will do you any good? It will die. Or even a car engine you need to overhaul when it's after a certain number of years. So you can let the body overhaul itself. And have rest. So after 1,000 years of, the earth will have to rest. But in the earth rest, it's only for the natural man. And the natural things of this earth, the physical things. But for us, we have a spiritual body. We have a glorified body. We have already our rest. We enter in already and now we continue to go on. Is that right? Let us go to Isaiah 65:17. Behold, I create new heavens and new earth. And the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. 66:22. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make. Now, read this very carefully now. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, said the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, said the Lord. And the new heaven, new earth God is going to make, it will remain forever. There will be no more destruction in the new heaven, new earth. It's all the same old earth that we have, but renewed. You know what I mean? Not that God is going to collapse this earth and make another one. No. It means the same earth, but renewed. You know what I mean? New heaven means this earth, everything will be changed completely. All things are passed away. And there will be no more destruction. You know what the scientists told me? Not that they told me, but I read about what they said in the paper, so they are telling me. That, you know what, do you know what is volcano? Do you know why there are volcanoes? They say, oh, the volcanoes are the nostrils for the earth to breathe. Because the earth, inside the earth, there is a coal of fire, isn't it? You know, they need to breathe. So there is always this tube that comes out all the way to the surface of the earth, and it forms into a nostril. The hot air comes out. Like a dragon blows this, let out the hot, what they call the fire, from the nose or somewhere from the mouth. And I say, oh my, you know why I tell you what? The volcano was there because the whole earth was destroyed by water and everything has to be reshaped. And so there's a lot of pressure that, you know, things were changed. So that's why you have this fire escaping. But in new heaven, new earth, they'll all be closed up. That's the way that God has to do with it. You don't know how to close that. No, but boy, the hot air must have somebody escape. Huh? But that's the theory of the scientists. Look at the sun. The sun is made of plasma. And how I know this plasma, I have no idea, just a word, eh? And the scientist said, oh, I'm so many million years, or so many thousand years from now, the sun is dying out. You know what a foolish man they really are. You mean that tell me that God doesn't know what He's doing? That the sun is dying out? What are we going to do? Oh, we're going to do something for future civilization. Like that, they are talking about this meteorite hitting the earth. Because they say, oh, the earth was, you know, in the past, there were so many meteorites hitting the earth. Okay? Well, just because God had some show in the days of the dinosaur. Just all those craters were from the days of dinosaurs. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? Yes, sure. Satan had a plot to play there to destroy the dinosaur and all these things, so cause them to fight and kill them all. And so now they're worried. Oh, we've got a big one hit the earth. What happened? The earth will be finished. Wiped out. Then God will be wiped out. This son is always fooling the government to get the money, you know. But my God knows what He's doing. The Bible tells me the stars and everything that He created has a path. In space. You think I'm worried about the path? They will collide? No, you won't collide. So I'll never. So relax. Relax. Don't let the sun worry you about it. Let them get all upset. Let them get all uptight. What you can see at night, of course, a shooting star and all this meteorite, a debris or what, something burn up in the night sky, a little piece of chunk of what all this rock, they hit the earth. Yeah, they're all small chunks. God just wants to have firework for you to see. But He was not going to pick a big firework and blow the whole earth out. He won't. You see. I have my faith in my God. Oh, I remember in those days in China, when they see the eclipse. Oh, a dragon is swallowing the moon. Oh, let's get all these, what we call, the pots and pans, and bang, the bang, the bang, and try to scare the dragon away. They beat after a few minutes. Hey. The dragon has spewed up the moon already. And they believe in all these things. And I think the pagans are just one kind and the scientists are the same. They're no different. So we have the rest. Once the rest is finished, after 1,000 years, you know what happened, isn't it? The Lord will create a new heaven, new earth. And then we go back into eternity. So we have the water, the blood, and the spirit. In the beginning, the spirit, the water, and the blood. That's what it started off. The earth, when God began to build. But the spirit must come back and restore back everything to its originality. So, when we cross into the 7,000, after the 7,000 years, we go into the 8th. Or we call it 8th day. The 8th cycle. What did the Bible here say in closing? In Isaiah 66, verse 23. It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another. Not a Sabbath day. Huh? From one Sabbath to another. In eternity. In eternity. There's no such thing as
as days and hours that we are counting. Because of eternity. But God will ordain a time that we all must come before Him. That the people of this earth, they live in this new heaven, new earth, the natural, they will have to pay tribute to the Lord. They will have to come and worship the Lord. Huh? So, when we look at this predestined plan of time, we are thankful that God has shortened this earth to 6,000 years for man. I will feel very sad now that I know all this truth. If there was such thing as that there is going to be another 1,000 years ahead before the Lord comes, I say, oh. But you see, this message is shown to us in our days. If you were to go back 400 or 500 years ago, a lot of them would not see this thing. They wouldn't know. They didn't expect the Lord return. Huh? And they'll continue just living as a Christian, knowing that they will go to the grave. But now we can sing the song. The sky is our goal, not the grave. And it's a reality. Do you understand that? It's a reality. And I believe I'm going to see it in my day. And you young people are going to see it in your day. Sure. We're not going to have another few decades to go before the Lord comes. No, not at all. We have always struggled 6,000 years. The earth has struggled 6,000 years now. And then God promised a rest for this earth. He promised a rest for this earth. But there is a people who already have the rest. And the body will be changed. And there is a reason why we are, they're going to be a people, they're going to take up in the rapture, they're going to make the bride, and they're going to come back to this earth and rule this earth. And why the people have the rest? We are being prepared for that in advance. You understand? That's why we have the rest, so that we know what it is like for them over there. So are you still struggling? Are you still struggling? Or do you have your rest? There are a lot of us still struggling. I know it. We're going through a lot of problems. But you know, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. God has got to put you through a fire. And that's what the word of God is, to purge to. Some say, what is it? What must I go through like this? Or are you in the one thing? What did the Bible say in the book of Peter? Let's read it then. Be close. You see, God has to do, you has His purpose. 2 Peter, verse 5. Besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith. You see, the fire of our faith. Do you remember? Add to your faith virtue. Have you virtue? No virtue. That's why you have to go through all that. Add to virtue knowledge. Knowledge. I don't need to know anything more about God. I'm a Christian. I'm going to go to heaven. Hey, God wants you to know about Him. God wants to get personal with you. You don't want to get personal with Him? If you are a child of God, man, He's going to put fire on your back. You understand? You need to know your Father. And the knowledge, temperance. That's a problem with many of us. No self-control. Eat. Play a computer game, keep on playing. We do all the things we want, our self-control, you know. During seasons, eat. I'm very guilty of it. But of course I eat until I stop. They say no more for a while. But it's more than just this common thing. There's a lot of things. It's our feeling, our emotion. And the temperance, patient. A lot of us are no patient. Fight dealer! You get also upset. Why are you so slow? Quick!
But there are a lot of them just dilly-dally. Now, quite irritated people. Those who have no patience get need to work patient. And those who are dilly-dallying, you know, they are the one also need to, God got to do something with them too. And to patient godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. Everything, you know, God wants just to perfect us. You look at life of Abraham, I like it. Life of Abraham, how did God, you know, put into a trial? Patience and then temperance, and I believe that even Abraham's wife, oh, because God spoke to Abraham, he didn't speak to Sarah, right? He said, I don't know your God. And of course, every day, but you know, Sarah says, look, I need the baby, I need to carry the baby, I want the baby. And Abraham says, oh, yes, I know, honey, have patience. But when? And finally, said, why don't you take Hagar? And then I'll be hot soup. And she learned too, you know. And I think Abraham had a lot of headache too with all this problem. Husband give the wife the headache, and headache, and her wife give the husband a headache. Or maybe the children give the father and mother headache too. Or even the parents themselves give the children the headache. The Bible said, do not provoke one another, but to provoke love, to love one another. You see. So all this thing works together for them to love the Lord, for good to them to love the Lord. Nothing take God by surprise in your life. Whatever happened in your life, it happened for a purpose. We just have to take our bearing. We may go through a lot of frustration, but God have patience. And He will never fail you. You go through, He's going to pull you up. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We ask for your blessing, that which we have received of you, Lord, the light of thy word, the truth, and most of all, Lord, in the hour to be living, to be able to see, O Father, the leanness of the time, and knowing that you are going to make all things, Lord, new, that truly you have prepared us as a people now, and just continue to work in our life, Lord, till we come to that place of perfection. In thy sight, Lord, a man and a woman that is matured, steadfast in the truth, holy, godly, full of brotherly kindness one to another, but whatever we are going through at this time, Father, cannot be compared to what we will see as when you come and pick us, Lord. So we thank you, Father, for your love in Jesus Christ towards us. And for Christ Jesus' sake, Lord, you have forgiven us all sin. And you have made us your children. And we thank you. We appreciate all this, Lord. We bless thy holy name. We hallow thy name, Lord. We give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus Christ's wonderful name, Father. Amen.